have Dr. Simon Ewan from Korea, your speaker this time, King James Bible Superior in the Old Testament. Dr. Ewan, may the Lord bless you. Continue.
This year you are celebrating the 500th anniversary of Reformation by Martin Luther, the Halloween day of 1517. One of the models of Reformation is Sola Scriptura, only Bible, which also stands Scripture, must govern over the church traditions, creeds, and the teachings must be in unity with the teachings of the Scripture as the divine inspired Word of God. Quote, I am bound by the Scripture. I have quoted and my conscience is captive to the Word of God. I cannot and I will not retract anything since it is neither safe nor right to go against the conscience. I cannot do otherwise here. Here I stand. May God help me. Amen. Martin Luther, at the Diet of Worms, 1521, he said, quote, no greater mischief can happen to a Christian people than to have God taken from them and the crucified, so that they can no longer have it pure and clear. God grant that we and our descendants are not witnesses to such a calamity. Let us not lose the Bible, but with diligence in prayer and invocation of God, read it and preach it. End quote. What would he say if he knew the situation that we are in today, almost in 5 years, 500 years later? His translation of the Bible into German vernacular instead of Latin made it more accessible to the laity. This translation influence on the Tyndale Bible. This morning we heard from the three speakers about the history of the English translation before King James Bible. Let me review briefly. The King James Bible was the third translation into English approved by the English Church authorities. First one is the Coverdale's Great Bible Commissions in the reign of King Henry VIII, 1535. Second one is the Bishop Bible, that's 1568. And third one is the King James Bible, 1604 to 1611, translated by 74 through 54, mentioned earlier by Dr. Spencer. The 47, we know the names, but the 7 unknown. So maybe approximately 47 through 54 scholars who were members of the Church of England and authorized by the King James I. The Old Testament was translated from the Hebrew and Aramaic text. And earlier this morning, we already heard about John Wycliffe, seminary professor at Oxford, and his associates completed translations from the Latin Vulgate into Middle English in 1384. His friend Nicholas of Hereford rendered the Old Testament. The whole Bible was revised by John Purvey in 1388. John Wycliffe, his nickname is the Morning Star of the Reformation, studied theology at Oxford and translated the Vulgate into English. And his fellow, the Lawrence, the poor priest, and his followers completed the Bible translations. And his bones exhumed and burned. John Wycliffe, that's one example of his Middle English. Here, these things Jesus spake, and when he handed a cast up, something like that. Next great person is William Tyndale. He translated the half of Old Testament, the Pentateuch, Jonah, and the revised version of Genesis from Hebrew and Aramaic text.
The Tyndale Bible was the first printed English biblical translation in 1525. He was executed in 1536 on charges of heresy for having made the translated Bible. And he condemned as a heretic. And his last words we heard this morning, also, Lord, opened the eye of the King of England. And the next one is a Geneva Bible of 1560, was a revision of Tyndale Bibles and the Great Bible of 1536. In 1568, the Church of England published the Bishop's Bible, a revision of the Great Bible in the light of a Geneva version under Queen Elizabeth I. And we have here four Bibles before King James Bible, Coverdale Bible, Matthew, and Great, and Geneva. So this is all the very helpful to translation into King James Bible, and much contribution to English translation. And the most important is that the Bible must be translated accurate and correctly. King James Bible, he was a former James VI of Scotland, became King of England in 1603. He made 6 teams of translations, 2 at Westminster and 2 at Oxford, 2 at Cambridge. And they used Masoretic text for Old Testaments and text receptus for New Testament translations. And he, a little bit of any political region, but he had much influence in English translations. This is the first edition of 1811. In May 1601, King James VI of Scotland attended the General Assembly of the Church of Scotland at the St. Columba's Church in Burnsland, Fifa, at which proposals were put forward for a new translation of the Bible into English. 2 years later, so he ascended to the throne of England as King James I of England. King James I, or I, had instructed the translators to use the Bishop's Bible as a base text. The translators of the New Testament books habitually quote Old Testament names in the renderings familiar from the Vulgate Latin rather than in forms close to original Hebrew. For example, Elias is Elijah, the Jeremias rather than Jeremiah, and Esaias is Isaiah. The 1769 version was revised spelling and punctuation and accepted as today's King James Bible copy. And superior to King James Bibles in Old Testament, according to Dr. Waite, original language text translators and technique and theology. The superiority of King James Bible in first one is they have a superior Hebrew and Aramaic text. The first reason for defending the King James Bible is because it has a superior Hebrew and Aramaic text comparing to the inferior Hebrew text, which is revised version and all the modern Bibles underlined. There are some Aramaic texts in the Old Testament. We have a few the illustration. Genesis 31:47, they have the Yegar Shatuta, that's a Hebrew Galilee, kind of a witness between the Laban and the Jacob. And the other things, Jeremiah chapter 10:11, a single sentence denouncing idolatry. Thus shall ye say unto them, the gods there have not made the heavens and the earth, even they shall perish from the earth and from the under the sun. This is a Aramaic whole verse. And Daniel chapter 2 4 through 728 is five stories about Daniel and his colleagues and the apocalyptic vision is a whole Aramaic. This part is one part of my dissertation of a doctoral degree. And Ezra 4:8 through 8:18 and 7:12 through 26 is a quotation of documents from the 5th century BC on the restoration of the temple in Jerusalem. This is all Aramaic. And Numbers 23:10, the word roba, usually translated as a stalk or fourth part, is an Arabic word meaning dust. And Job 36, verse 2, there's a Rashi. In his commentary, the verse stated that the phrase is in Aramaic. And Psalm 2, verse 12, the word bar is interpreted by King James Bible to be Aramaic word for sun. So we can, this bar word in the New Testament also, bar dimeo, or bar Jesus, and bar Jonah. This is all the son of something like that. And this renders the phrase Rashaku bar as teeth the son, a reference to Jesus, Messiah. Jewish sources and some Christian sources follow the Hebrew reading as bar as purity and translate the phrase as embrace purity. This is definitely wrong. The King James Bible is right. The kiss the son. There are two traditions of documents or the text of in Hebrew. The wrong, false, corrupted text and the right and the non-corrupted text. The false corrupted text we call the Alexandrian text. Septuagint's Targum, the Dead Sea Scrolls of Athens, Vulgate, and Leningrad manuscripts we call the L, capital L, and Biblia Hebraica, Kittel by Kittel, the first and second edition is good, very good, but the third one is they corrupted. This year is the year the Hitler captures the authority. With all his suggested footnote changes, and Peha S, the Biblia Hebraica, should to the Cadotensia, this is all corrupted in the critical, the critical apparatus. This Alexandrian text are considered to be the older manuscripts, but it's a doubt. Constantine, the emperor, Constantine, the 331, he donated this Vatican or the Sinaiticus Codex donated to the church authorities. They are referred to as the oldest one, the manuscripts now in this world. But 331 AD is, we cannot believe that. The Vatican always, they like to change, they destroyed it, and they have a kind of a forging that area. I try to find that evidence in the Vatican Museum. They have a top secret of they changed that documents. And they were not in use throughout most of the church age. They were essentially lost or placed in storage for more than 1,000 years. Then they were recovered. These differences in which the text they were translated from and the regions that all modern versions do not have verses that have the King James Bible does have. The heretic cult called the Essence, the Dead Sea Scrolls probably 90% of the time did concur with the Hebrew text that underlies the King James Bible. But in the places where they don't, we should stick to Masoretic traditional Hebrew Bible. L stand for legatum in Latin, meaning in other, which read. All the corrupted text corrected the Hebrew Bible by conjecture. And B, the chapter B is a Vatican Synodicus Alexandrian context, is all conjecture. Vatican Synodicus Alexandrian Codex, modern text based on this the Alexandrian text based on 90% on B, 7% on A, 2.5% on Alexandria, 0.5% on the few other earlier Masoretic text. And then the TR and the West Coast Holt and the TR West Coast, you can compare this one. Modern texts are all based on the Alexandrian tradition. But we have a correct text. We call the Antiochian. Antioch school, they keep the apostolic the heritage, and they were pure, they preserve a pure Bible tradition. And then 99%, more than 99% of the now among 5,820 copies of Codex, they belong to this Antiochian. Only 45 documents belong to Alexandria. The majority. The old Latin Bible, 150, the old Syriac Bible, 157, and the Coptic version, 350, the Codex of Argentinus and the Persica, the Valdensian, the Codex of Beza, and the Bede, Egbert, King Alfred the Great, and Erasmus, and Stephanus. This is all belong to the Syria and the Antiochian Bible. Masoretic text, Daniel Bomberg edition, 1524 and 25, edited by Ben Chaim, on which King James Bible is based. This is 1866 Old Hebrew Bible or the latest text. It has the Masoretic Hebrew text in the center and the King James Bible in the margins. Rudolf Kittel used this text in his first and second edition, 1906 and 1912. Both of these first Biblia Hebraica, we call in German BHK and BHS, Hebrew texts offer their footnotes about the 15 to 20 suggested changes per page. This adds up about 20,000 to 30,000 changes in the entire Hebrew Old Testament text. One or the other, these first Hebrew texts, either BHK or BHS, are used the basis of for the Old Testament in all modern versions, as can be shown by reading their introductory pages. All changes are pure conjecture. God authorized the Jews to be the exclusive guardians of His words. The Jews were to be guardians of the Old Testament, Hebrew, Aramaic, and text. God did not give that privilege and responsibility to any other race or people unto Jesus. Quote, what advantage then has the Jew, or what profit is there of circumcision? Much everywhere, chiefly because they are unto them were committed the oracles of the word of God. Rome chapter 3, 1 and 2. It was the Hebrew and Aramaic text that God preserved, not some text in Greek, Latin, or Syriac, or any other documents. It must be Hebrew and Aramaic. There are eight or more important strict rules that were followed by the Hebrew scribes who copies and recopies the Masoretic Hebrew Aramaic Old Testaments. These rules were to ensure that each letter, word, and the sentence of the Hebrew and Arabic text was preserved exactly. The Jews were meticulous and reverent in their copying and recopying of our Hebrew and Aramaic manuscripts. We should not change any of the Hebrew or Aramaic words of God that underlie the King James Bible. The letters text of 1866 came out before the Kittel decided to scrape it for his first Ben Asher text. We call it the L, Leningrad. The British, American, and other countries' Bible societies printed the first Hebrew text too. We must preserve the very Old Testament Hebrew Aramaic words of God ourselves. In that became necessary. Number two reason of King James Bible superiority. Translator. This morning, Brother Spencer introduced us this one. Very in-depth, detail. This correctly implied that the various revised and modern versions and perversions of the Bible have inferior translators. There is no question about the expertise and ability of the translators who gave us the King James Bible. The new version, people often say that the King James Bible translations were rather than ignorant and did not know as much about the translating as the translators or paraphrasers of today. Their linguistic qualifications are super. The translations of the King James Bible were unequaled, superior, and excellent scholars at that time. For example, Dr. Lancelot Andrews has a master's of 15 languages. Someone said that if Dr. Andrews had been present at the confusion of tongues at the Tower of Babel, he could have served as an interpreter general. That's the one. And Dr. William Bedwell was trained in Arabic learning. In fact, he published in Qurta an edition of the Epistle of St. John in Arabic with a Latin version. He left many Arabic manuscripts in the University of Cambridge with numerous notes and font of types of printing there. In fact, he wrote an Arabic lexicon or dictionary in three volumes. He also began a Persian dictionary which among the Archbishop Lowe's manuscripts are still preserved in the Bodleian Library at Oxford today. We are ignoramuses today compared to the scholars who gave us our King James Bible. The other scholar, Dr. Miles Smith, was an expert in Hebrew in Chaldee, in the Babylonian, and in Syriac, and in Arabic. They were almost as familiar to him as his native tongue. Dr. Smith went through both Greek and Latin church fathers making annotations on them all. So, best scholars at that time. How about the Sir Henry Savile? Was a proficient in both Greek and mathematics. He became tutor in these two subjects to Queen Elizabeth. Savile translated his histories of Cornelius Tacitus and published the same with notes. He published from the manuscripts the writings of Brad Walden against Pelagius and the writers of English history subsequent to Bede and predictions of the elements of Euclid. He was the first to edit the complete works of Chrysostom, the most famous of the Greek fathers, and he was an Antiochic father, and he was a profound and exact scholar. Okay, the other great scholar, John Boyce, was an expert in Hebrew as well as Greek. He studied at his father's knee. In fact, at his age five, he had read the whole Bible in Hebrew. Genius. At the age of six, John Boyce was able to write Hebrew in clear and elegant style. King James Bible translators had mastered English as well as the original language Hebrew and Greek and Aramaic. They all knew the covenant and brother-sister cousin-related languages that shared light of Hebrew Aramaic. As you know, the Hebrew Aramaic is belong to the Semitic, the Northwestern Semitic language, and that originated from the Akkadian and Aramaic and Hebrew and Arabic, and the other side is Greek. So the most of the translators of King James Bible, they are very familiar with this Semitic language family group. They were linguistic superior. Third region of King James Bible superiority is a technique. This correctly implied that the various versions and the perversions of the Bible have an inferior technique of translation. King James Bible translators use the superior technique of a verbal equivalence and formal equivalence, not dynamic equivalence. As you know, the verbal is word to word, phrase to phrase, verse and verse is exactly the translation. And the formal equivalence, they follow exactly the grammar, syntax, like that. But dynamic equivalence is a free translation. They just put their thinking or their interpretation on the Bible, and they twisted and they changed, they omitted something like that. The modern versions and perversions have been to greater or lesser degree the inferior, the dynamic technique of the translation. This is, has disdained both verbal and formal equivalence. Okay, superior translation technique is they use verbal, formal, not dynamic. Inferior translations, they reject verbal equivalence, give up the right thing, the right meaning. They rather choose the wrong meaning, corrupt the text. They reject the formal equivalence. They disregard grammar and syntax and or any sentence structure, kind of chiasmus. Chiasmus meaning they have A, B, C, B, dot, C, A, dot, C. This idea is whole the Bible structure is like the chiasm or chiasmus. That's similar, same structure with our brain. Our brain also like this kind of the DNA structure, RNA structure. This is our brain structure. And the whole Bible is the same structure. So they have a matching, every matching from the beginning, Genesis matching to Revelation. And also Genesis chapter 1 and the chapter 50, they are matching together. In the Bible, they have a matching the right to left, high and to below. They all is matching together. This is a very organic chiasmus structure. This is they reject the formal equivalence, they disregard all things. If you keep the right, the Bible correct the structure, you cannot say that any documentary theory. That is nonsense. But in the inferior translation, they choose the dynamic. They prefer to train free translations. And they say that this is a textual criticism. When I studied at Harvard University, one of my professors, Dr. Frank Cross, he had the Death Scroll, and then we exposition on the First Samuel, and textual criticism final decision by human, not real things. They just decide what is the original languages. When I came to this country, 1983, at that time they had the Jesus seminar. They were 400 scholars gathered together, and they often do tests in the Bible, and they read the sentence. And then they say that, who are you reliable, this text? And maybe 300 raise your hands, this is a much, much easier A. And maybe half B, below half C. They just decide which is original one or what. I was so shocked. The Bible never changed. The Bible is inspired the word of God, and then we must rely on original Bible through the God and the original translation. But the Jesus seminar is so nonsense. I was just so shocked at that time. According to the textual criticism, they say the first one, the principle is the oldest is the better. Is this right? The pure Bible is better, and the correct word is better, not the oldest or latest. The criterion is so humanistic. The oldest is better, no. Okay, according to this criterion, why in the Bible? Always, most always, the second son is better than first one. Abel rather than Cain. Esau rather than Jacob. Right? And then Joseph rather than his brothers. Why is that? The oldest is better? No! Nonsense. Who is belong to the Lord? Is better? And the second is the shoulder is better? No. Shoulder is better? That is nonsense. To preserve is the most important. And modern scholarship is better than old one? That's also nonsense. Much of classic is better than our modern. So, modern is likely Gnostic. Limburger, he belonged to a lower criticism, higher criticism, lower criticism. Who can judge it like that? Nonsense. Dynamic equivalence is as to God's words. They delete God's words. Subtract from the God's word. According to Dr. Waite, the studying, diabolical, deceptive, determined, dishonest, defying a man, disobedient, disapproved by God, defiant, defective, disrupted, so and so. Amen. Belong to devil. Okay, at least the exceptions. In King James Bible, they use God forbid. Some people allege that the King James Bible translators use a dynamic equivalence in their expression. God forbid. Never. They are very emphasis on never side. If you consult the Oxford English Dictionary, which gives you the meaning of the God forbidden in 1811, it is found only 7 times in the Old Testament. These passages. It's a rendering of kalal, which is may it be something profane or may it be far from me. Again, God forbid is perfect. That's 1611. And the other one, God saved the king. Another favorite allegation of a dynamic equivalence in the King James Bible is the expression, God saved the king. Even if it were the case, it is only found 4 times in the Old Testament. It means, may the king live long, or may the king be preserved or saved. Well, if the king lives long, he is saved. Is he not? So, why not let the 1611 parlance of God save the king alone? The fact is, such examples as very, very few in the King James Bible, whereas they abound in the modern versions and the perversions, because in those, the dynamic equivalence technique is the rule rather than the exception. The term salvation was used in much broader sense in past centuries. The King James Bible's verb and the formal equivalence. The King James Bible basically uses the technique of a verb equivalence and the formal equivalence. Verb equivalence means that the very words, wherever possible, are brought over from Hebrew and Aramaic into English. King James Bible also uses the technique or formal equivalence, that is the translations brought over, whereas possible, the very forms of Hebrew and Aramaic words into English. They did not transform the grammar. They didn't take a noun or take a verb out of it. They brought a verb into a verb and a noun into a noun wherever possible. They were skilled craftsmen who had a proper concept of the translation. Really, it comes from translated letters, which in turn comes from two Latin words, trans meaning across, and latus, which means is a past participle of a pharaoh or to carry. It means to carry across from one place to another, from one language to another. It does not seek to change or add or subtract. King James translation letters just simply took the Hebrew Aramaic words and put them into English correctly. They picked up the Greek words and put them into English. That's a translation. The modern versions use of a dynamic equivalence. There are more than 2,000 examples of the dynamic equivalency, that is adding and subtracting from or changing the Word of God in the New King James Bible only. More than 4,000 in American Standard Bible, and more than 6,653 from NIV. What is meant of a dynamic equivalence? Moving or changing. Equivalence meaning is the same or unchanging. You cannot have it both ways. It's either changing or unchanging. Those who use the first technique in the various translations, letters, and think it's a great technique. The bottom line for such a technique is that it gives a human being the right to add or God's word, to subtract from God's word, or change it. God's words. This is a sin. God pronounces the strongest possible cure on everyone who dares to do any of those three things to God's word. This is started by serpent in Garden of Eden. And then they attacked Jesus and started his public mission. And then always threat to our souls. Those who use the first technique are really paraphrasing rather than the translating. Paraphrase comes from the Greek words para alongside, phrase, a word or a phrase. It means to use a word and a phrase that is alongside the real meaning. It is to state something in other words. We should seek, as the King James Bible translations sought to put it into English, the exact and the accurate meaning of the Hebrew and the Aramaic words of God, rather than to give something that is beside or alongside the word of praise. Last point, superiority. They have a better theology. This correctly implies that various version and perversion of the Bible has an inferior theology. The modern Bible scholars believe that the modern English versions do not contain changes from the King James Bible that affect the theology or doctrine. This is a lie. They believe that you can take any modern English version you wish, and when you compare it to the King James Bible, that version does not have anything in it that is theologically deficient or doctrine incorrect. Dr. Rice states, quote, "The differences in the translations are so minor, so insignificant that we can be sure not a single doctrine, not a single statement of a fact, not a single command or exhortation. It has been missed in our translations." Some illustration of superiority. In the Genesis, Yom in Hebrew is a complete 24 hours a day, not a period, not a long period. This is Yom. Yom is so the world was created in 6 days. That means 6 24 hours times six. In the Genesis 1:2, the King James Bible the Spirit, but New RSV they say the wind, or some other the Tanakh the Hebrew translation also wind. New RSV Tanakh they changed the Spirit into wind, Ruach Elohim. This denied the presence of the Holy Ghost when the world was created. How about Genesis 1:28? The only King James Bible, they translate replenish the earth. Other modern, all things that fill the earth. Hebrew, mil'u, is translated into replenish rather than fill. This verb implies to fill again or to complete again. This word appears again in Genesis 9:1. The other one, Ezer Kenegado, a helpmate for Adam. King James Bible, they translate it correctly. It's not good that a man should be alone. I will make him an helpmeet for him. And other modern translation, they were a little different, a partner or help, something like that. The feminist movement does not like a wife being a helpmeet or a man. They emphasize the equality. The sense in Genesis 2:18, the Ezer Kenegado is the husband and wife should work as a team, as a counterparts, complementing each other, having specialized and different skills. Just as the King James Bible says, the issue is not who is better, as a suitable or comparable implies. Japheth was the old eldest son of Noah. The Genesis 10:21, correctly, the brother of the Japheth the elder. This is a correct translation from Hebrew Bible. But some say that the looks like Japheth was the eldest brother, and then Ham and Shem. This is all about biologically. Children of Noah, but the Bible say that the Genesis chapter 10:1 say that Shem, Ham, Japheth. Why? It's a spiritually son order, not the biologically. And then they started with the time is up. Out. 2 minutes. Yeah. And then verse 2 they started the Japheth, and then that's the Ham and the. Verse 21, Shem. Yeah, this order is a kind of a signature thing. So. Okay, other things you can find the manuscripts next year. So I have the more illustration here. Thank you very much for your attention. Can you stand up, please? Psalm 119. Verses 73, this is the Yod section. Thy hands have made me and fashioned me, give me understanding that I may learn thy commandments. They that fear thee will be glad when they see me, because I see hope in thy word. I know, O Lord, that thy judgments are right, and that thou in faithfulness hast afflicted me. Let I pray thee, thy merciful kindness be for my comfort, according to thy word unto thy servant. Let the tender mercies come upon me, that I may live, for thy law is my delight. Let the proud be ashamed, for they dealt perversely with me without a cause. But I will meditate in thy precepts. Let those that fear thee turn unto me, and those that have known thy testimonies. Let my heart be sound in thy statutes, that I may not ashamed. all congregation say.